Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
All right, it's Dave Plyer in for Steve Cochran here on 720 WGN. Today is Chicago's very own legendary comedian Bob Newhart's 87th birthday. The Bob Newhart Show, Newhart, award-winning comedy albums, movies, and so many TV appearances. Bob Newhart is an American icon. He's also still touring and doing stand-up as well. I got to talk to Bob about his early days in Chicago, comedy, and the support that he got from WGN Radio with Eddie Hubbard and Wally Phillips and others right here on WGN. Let's listen to a little conversation with Bob Newhart.
Hi, Dave. It's still funny to hear WGN 720 on the dial. I mean, that's where it's been all my life.
Yeah. You know,
Wally Phillips and Eddie Hubbard, wasn't it? Yeah.
Jack Brickhouse.
So many of the guys who were so great to me when my first album came out, and they were good friends, yeah.
Well, and people I'm sure know, I mean, you are one of Chicago's very own. You grew up in Oak Park.
Well, no, I was born in Oak Park. The hospital was in Oak Park, so I had no choice. I had to be born in Oak Park.
Gotcha.
But spent my childhood until I was about 30 in Austin. But I always say Oak Park because it sounds posher.
It certainly does. It certainly does. But, I mean, you came back to the area because obviously you went to St. Ignatius High School.
Right.
And Loyola University. And what was your, what were you studying at Loyola?
It was kind of strange. I was studying liberal arts. And then I thought I was going to go to law school. And so I said, well, maybe a business background may be better for law school, which is not necessarily true, by the way. So I switched to commerce, and had like a minor in accounting.
Okay.
And then I went in service for 2 years, and then came out and knocked around Chicago. I worked for the Glidden Company and the U.S. Gypsum downtown. I said, the hell with it. I got to try comedy and see if I can make a living doing it. And if I can't, at least I won't spend the rest of my life saying,
what if?
You know, a road never taken. I wonder what would have happened.
Yeah.
So fortunately, I gave it a year, then a year became two, and two became three. But there was always something on the horizon. And then Dan Sorkin, who was with the WCFL then, I guess it's WLS now.
Yep.
He introduced me to the Warner Brother people, and they gave me a recording contract. And they said, "Don't we'll record you at your next nightclub." And I said, "Well, see, there's a problem. I've never worked a nightclub."
Right, right.
So we'll have to get you on a nightclub. So it took about a year because most nightclubs are, what do you mean the guy's never, this is the first club, no one wanted to take a chance. So we found a place in Houston, the Tidelands, and I went down there. Wow, this is January of 1960, and recorded the album down there, and, I thought it might make, it might be a nice adjunct to a stand-up career. Maybe sell 25,000, and you go into a town and eight or ten people have heard of you, and they come in to see you. But the album just went crazy. It sold the last count I heard was 1.5 million. So,
well, here's the thing: you topped at the time an album by Elvis, the cast album The Sound of Music. It won Album of the Year at the 1961 Grammy Awards and Best New Artist as well. It was the first comedy album to win, and only time for a comedian who has won Best New Artist. The album was a 2006 entry into the Library of Congress National Recording Registry, and according to an NPR interview you did, it's one of the best-selling albums of all time, which is amazing right out of the box.
That's what. Yeah. That was. We were talking earlier about going to see Rickles, and I was backstage, and there were some three girls, and they were just breaking into comedy, and they said, "Is it true that your first album was the first time you ever played a nightclub?" I said, "Yeah." They said, "Wow, that's amazing."
It is. Well, then you came back with another album that same year.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, then it was interesting that I always tell the story that the first album went to number one, and the second album went to number two, and then the second album went to number one, and the first album went to number two, and it was on. I had the number one and number two album for I think it was like 20 weeks or something,
wow.
which had never happened before, but then a couple of years ago. Axl Rose, they had the number one and number two album, and
damn them,
and they stayed on longer than I did, so I no longer had the record, but I always said, well, at least it went to a friend,
right. So
it didn't hurt nearly as much knowing that Axe, got the new record.
Right.
Yeah, well, I just got off the phone with Axe, as a matter of fact.
Oh, did you? How's it going?
Yeah, we talk almost every day.
Really?
Dave Player in for Steve Cochran on 720 WGN. We're talking to Chicago's very own, the legendary Bob Newhart, on his 87th birthday. I talked to Bob of the beginnings of the Bob Newhart Show and the award-winning finale of his second series, Newhart.
Mary Tyler Moore started MTM Productions, and her husband at the time, Grant Tinker, asked you if you wanted to get off the road and do a TV show.
Well, yeah. Actually, MTM was founded by Mary Tyler Moore, Grant Tinker, her husband, and Arthur Price, who was my manager also, and also Mary's manager. So Arthur came to me and said, would you like to do a series? And I was traveling. I was doing stand-up and away from the family. And I said, yeah, I'd like to live a kind of normal life. And so I got together with Dave Davis, Lorenzo Music, and we sat around and batted around ideas and came up with the idea of the Bob Newhart Show. And then we were lucky enough to get Susie as my wife, and Peter Bonners and Bill Daly, who, of course, was a Chicagoan. I knew Bill years before the album came out.
And you met Peter?
He's a stage manager at MAQ.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. And I know you met Peter on the set of Catch 22, I think, right?
Exactly, yeah.
You and Suzanne, boy, I'll tell you, you had the premise, you came up with the premise of being a psychiatrist, a little bit more of an adult show, an amazing writing team. You and Suzanne had just amazing chemistry.
Yeah, that was special. And, of course, we lost Suzanne a couple of years ago, and we just recently lost Marcia.
Yeah.
But when I started Newhart, the Vermont show, I went to Mary Fran and I said, Mary, you're going to have a very tough job because Susie and I had this chemistry, and it's just hard. People are going to compare you to Susie, and I said it's going to be tough, and it was tough. It was tough for Mary.
But there's certain expectations when you establish a character and such an amazing show like the Bob Newhart Show. To repeat that is almost unheard of, and you did just that.
Yes, that's true. It wasn't quite as competitive a world as it is now. I mean, we really had ABC, NBC, and CBS. You didn't have, you had like GN, which was an independent, but you didn't have all these cable shows. So it's a much tougher competition now. Because of all the cable competition.
142 episodes, six incredible years. You were ready to go off after the fifth, and, you stayed. Then they pushed for a seventh season, and you said, nope, that's it. We've done an amazing show. I want to go off on top.
Yeah, I had seen too many shows. It's funny, there was something on the AOL or one of the, you know, or Google, one of them, and they listed shows that have stayed on too long, and there were quite a few of them, and I had seen shows that had stayed on a year or 2 years too long, and I didn't want to be a show that had stayed on a year too long, and it was tough because you know, you have these people and they're friends. And you're pulling the plug on their livelihood, and but it was for the good of the show, and they're good people. They're going to, you know, get other jobs because they're good at what they do.
Sure.
And of course, it starts with the writing. There's no question about we just had great writing. I just had dinner the other day with Patchett and Tarsus. With Patchett and with Tarsus, I'm sorry, and we went over, and they wrote some really great things. It was really the writing, and then we had an incredible cast, and I think that's why it holds up, because the writing was so good.
It was, and you know what? And I like the fact that, you know, so many shows, especially at that time, try to bring in kids and love. Did they ever approach you at that time and say, "Yeah, we want you two to have a baby," and you said no? Or
well, originally we talked about having a family, and I said that was one of my conditions. I said no, I don't want to do a show, you know, where daddy's the dolt and he gets himself in all kinds of trouble, and then the wife and the kids all huddle together, and how do we get daddy out of this problem he got himself into, and then. They do, and then they just kind of smile and pat daddy on the head, you know.
Right.
And, you know, he's not very bright, but we love him, you know. And that wasn't the kind of show I wanted to do. So in the sixth year, the final year of the Newhart, the Bob Newhart show, the writers wrote a script because they were trying to talk me into doing a seventh year where Suzanne was pregnant. And so they sent me the script, and we shot our show on Friday night, and then I got the script for next week, and I look at it generally Sunday. So, and I read this script, and Suzanne is pregnant, and we're going to have a baby. And so I called up Mike Zinberg, the producer, and I said, I read the script, he said, and he was kind of nervous about it. He said, how did you like it? I said, it's very funny. I said, it's a very funny script. He said, "Oh, good, because we were a little worried, you know, that maybe you weren't going to care for it." I said, "No, it's very funny." I said, "Who are you going to get to play Bob?" And there was this long silence, and they said, "Oh, okay, all right, just checking."
Got it, right? Yeah, exactly. And we talked to Bob about the season series finale of Newhart, which was legendary, probably the most legendary season finale of all time. TV Guide named it the most unexpected series finale in TV history. But I got to say, from a memorable standpoint, I think it was shocking. It was such a well-kept secret at that time that you were doing that.
It was. It was. A lot of people knew. The interesting thing about the show, we hadn't told the crew. I had told the cast that week that what we were going to do, but we hadn't told the crew. So this was on our final tape night, and the crew went to dinner, and they came back, and we said, "Oh, we added the scene," and so we had the bedroom set from the Bob Newhart show, but we had what they call a floater in front of it blocking.
Gotcha. I was going to ask you how you did that. Okay.
About the audience, you know, we do that with other sets just to focus the attention on the audience there.
Sure.
And so we pulled back the floater, and the people started applauding the set. They recognized the set from the Bob Newhart show.
I bet they did.
They started applauding the set.
It's Bob Newhart's 87th birthday. Happy birthday to you, pal. That was a legendary last episode, wasn't it?
Was the whole thing just a dream?
The whole thing was just a dream, Dave. The whole thing was just a dream. But legendary to see that bedroom and all that,
right?
And Suzanne Plachet.
I have to tell you, everybody at work the next day That's all they were talking about.
Yeah.
Was that serious
big
finale.
Water cooler moment. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.